Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
Hallelujah. I love the way God moves. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit. Are you thankful for the Holy Spirit? You realize that we're in the last of the last days, and Holy Spirit is about to do a great and mighty work in this nation. How many know that this is a big nation? Well, if he's going to do a work in this nation, that means that Darwin might get it before we get it. It might be that the great outpouring might start in Sydney, because you always go to the East Coast if you want to attract the crowd. Well, what about little Victor Harbour? I'm thinking exactly that. Why not? And as I'm studying the Word, as I'm reaching out to God and saying, God, I want an outpouring in our town. I want an outpouring in this city. I want an outpouring on this southern Fluoro Peninsula. I want an outpouring in this state. You know, the Lord's no respecter of persons. We read that in the passage last Sunday morning, and it's so true that we need Holy Spirit in our lives, not just on Sunday during worship time when we lift up holy hands and we say, Holy Spirit, I love you so much. Oh, I love you. And walk out and do our own thing. I find that when the Lord gives me a subject to preach on, he ministers into my life with that word long before I minister that word into your life. And so last week when we started off in Acts chapter 10 about changing mindset, I wasn't aware of the week I was about to face. I wasn't aware of how much Holy Spirit I would need in my day-to-day journey last week, the week we've just finished. Let me just share with you just a brief occurrence. It was a great honor this Thursday morning to host the local pastors meeting here. We don't do it often. We sort of do it on a roster, and the pastors come from all the different churches and we meet together. And it's the job of the host church to have a devotion around the Word of God. Always a good place to start. To open in prayer, to spend some time in discussion, and to then get onto the business side of what we do across the board with Carols by the Sea and debrief on church together and who we're going to get to speak and what's happening in the different churches and all this mixture. So bright and early on Thursday morning at 9 a.m. we had about 15 pastors turn up, and it's my job to share the Word of God around the table. Now some of those guys are so highly educated, so detailed in what they've studied, and they've got doctorates in there, all these fancy stuff. I just share what the Holy Spirit gets me to share. And I felt to share out of Acts chapter 10 like we'd done last Sunday morning. And I got to the passage where it says, and the Holy Spirit fell on all those who were listening to the Word. And I said, I just want to emphasize what God's doing here. I'm not going to preach to you in tongues. I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to prophesy over you. And I looked around the room, and the majority of the pastors were a Pentecostal flavor, but there was a heavy loading of very traditional church leaders here also. I finished my devotional and I got a couple of grunts from a couple of the pastors, which meant it was good, I think. There were no women present, so that surprised me, because we've got four new ministers who are female in the town now. But out of the blue, one of the traditional mainline leaders suddenly rose up and he said, I'm going to be point blank with you here. I don't like the way you delivered that message about revival. I don't like the way you shared that scripture. I don't even think God's going to turn up like I've been believing God's going to turn up for years. And all of us sort of took a bit of a... And the history of this man is he come out of a Baptist background, went to Sturt Street CRC revival meetings in the early days, got a touch of the Holy Spirit, was filled with the Holy Spirit, was evident speaking in tongues, had an amazing journey, but somewhere within that, the spirit of religion's come in and it's twisted his thinking about how great God is, how important the Holy Spirit is in our lives, how important it is for the church of God to believe on God's word and therefore minister his word through people. Now, this guy's got a doctorate. He's not just Lou Saunders, the local pastor. And around the room, some of the more traditional leaders started to join in the conversation with him. I'm thinking, my goodness, Holy Spirit, what have I opened up here? And as I'm saying these words in my heart, I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, and what are you going to do about it? And I really felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit come upon my heart that I profess not only to be the pastor of this church, but I profess that I have a calling to pastor this city. My mindset is, there's a city going to hell without Jesus. I'm sitting in a room full of pastors who are doubting God's word at a pastor's meeting. So my depth of intimacy with the Holy Spirit goes from pastor the city to I've called you to pastor pastors as well. And the move of God on that place. My lips had never used the word revival. I'd never used the word great awakening. I'd never used, you know, anything referred to, you know, the church coming alive to Jesus. What I was talking about is how the Holy Spirit is important in all our lives if we're meant to move forward. And here I have this room full of pastors and some of them are saying, we don't believe God's going to do what he said he'd do. Leaders of churches in our city. My question to one of them was, if you can't believe God's going to do what he said he's going to, how are you going to minister to your people with the potential what God's going to do with them? So what it's highlighted to me is God's got this church on a journey that involves God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all in one, but doing their job, their work within each of us as our need be. Sometimes you may need the love of the Father in your life. You call out to God, God, Father, help me, support me, resource me, whatever that cry is. And the love of the Father will minister to you. Sometimes you need to recognize that the power of the name of Jesus is what you need. So you go to the Father in the name of Jesus, you know, when you're praying over sickness, disease, you know, whatever that situation is, you come in the name of Jesus. But what we've got to realize in God's master plan is the third person of the triune nature of God. It is the Holy Spirit. We need to be calling and relying on and being ministered to by God's Holy Spirit, not just on Sundays, not just when we feel a holy moment come along, but we need him 24/7 in our lives. Let's open our Bibles to Acts chapter 10, where we were last week. I'm not going to read the whole passage again. For those who weren't here, if you'd like to get a copy of the message, we would love for you to do that. And one person who was here last week couldn't get here this week, so they've already ordered this week's message. They said, I love the passage. I love where you're going with it. Tell me more. So, awesome. Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. Amen? And it says in here in verse 44 of Acts chapter 10, even as Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. While Peter spoke these words, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, fell on them, King James Version says, which heard the Word. The Holy Spirit didn't come in and seize them. He didn't come in and rattle their cage to wake them up. They didn't reach out and call on the Holy Spirit. They didn't reach out to touch Him. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, fell on them who heard the Word. What is happening here in this passage? What is changing the mindset not only of Peter, but of those who were there hearing the Word? That it was the work of the Holy Spirit, not the work of man. Holy Spirit couldn't wait any longer for Peter to finish saying what he wanted to say. Holy Spirit said, now is the time. They've heard the Word. They've got it. Here's a moment. The Bible says the Holy Spirit fell. Holy Spirit is the initiator of a stirring in the life of not just the church, but of a community, even if they're a community of not yet believers. Amen? You can't do it alone. I can't do it alone. We, as the most powerful Pentecostal church on earth, can't do it alone. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to fall on us and to fall on others as they're listening to the Word. Amen? It doesn't say that while Peter was speaking, they all jumped up and got excited because they sensed something was going on. It didn't say that, you know, Peter stopped talking. He said, we need to go into a holy huddle now and ask Holy Spirit to come into our meeting. The Bible says the Holy Spirit fell on them all. What an exciting passage in the Scripture. How I started my devotion, I teased them a bit. I said, I'm going to speak out of Acts this morning. I want you to open your Bibles to Acts 29. And most of them hadn't bought a Bible. So they grabbed their iPads, they grabbed their phones. And I saw a couple of quizzical looks. And I said, I'm not sure what verse it is. I know it's in Acts 29. It might be around verse 356. And it talks about this gathering of the disciples in a house in Victor Harbor. It was the house of the Lord. And they went, you got us. Because we, church, are the Acts 29 church. The Acts of the Apostles is still being written. It's got your name in it. It's got my name in it. It's got our name in it. But here, right in the midst of Peter's mindset, he gets his mindset changed again, and the mindset of Cornelius and all in Cornelius' house gets changed as well. We spoke last week about this word fell. It just didn't do an almighty crash and lay them all flat. The word in Greek is the word epipito, E-P-I-P-I-P-T-O, epipito, which means to embrace with affection, to rush in and press upon, to suddenly come upon, to come with a force and a presence, to seize and to take possession of. It was a great meeting. Peter had the crowd listening to what he was saying. He was speaking Jesus. He was sharing good news. He was sharing out of his own experience what his life journey had been about, his experience about knowing Jesus, the crucified one who rose from the dead. Right in the middle of that great service, God sends Holy Spirit. Wouldn't that be awesome that in our gatherings, in our connect groups, in our prayer meetings, in our Sunday services, that the Lord sees a way in and He just stops whatever's happening and the Holy Spirit falls on the house. I want to say today that the Holy Spirit came on this day that we're talking about here, in an undeniable, indisputable manner. It was a tangible, heavy manifestation of the power of God. Let's not underestimate the power of God in their lives. I was taken aback at that meeting on Thursday morning that the men of God in this community don't yet grasp the intense power that comes when you accept Father, Son, and Holy Ghost together. Let's talk about him nicely. Let's acknowledge that Jesus is Son of God. Let's just worship and honor the Father. God never intended that. God never planned that. The triune nature of God means we honor the Father. When Jesus was asked by his disciples, "Lord, teach us how to pray," Jesus said, "When you pray, pray like this: Our Father, who art in heaven." Jesus, the Son of God, says there's one way to the Father, and it's through me. It's not about me, but it's through me. Amen? And then we get the book of John, where Jesus has to explain to his disciples that it's to our advantage that he go away, and that when he goes away, I will ask the Father, and he will send another comforter to you, who we now know is the Holy Spirit. God didn't have a plan that you can use A, B, or C. He said you've got A, B, or C, but if you need all three, we're here together. Amen? They were visibly and physically affected by the power of God, not just visiting them, but seizing them, falling on them. They felt it. And everyone present could see the effects of the power of God in that room. Now, we're not even talking a church service here. We're talking about a meeting where Cornelius and his house of unbelievers had invited Peter and some of the followers to be in the house to explain to him what he had dreamed, the vision that God had given him. Nobody expected the Holy Spirit to turn up like that. Have you got an expectation for the Holy Spirit to turn up in our meetings? I mean, you're just dumbfounded. Why would we think that? There's an importance we've got to recognize in these last of the last days that the Holy Spirit is going to have an integral part in your life when you open yourself up to allow Holy Spirit in to say and do what he needs to do. Amen? As I'm reading this passage, I realize that this is not the first time God's power has fallen. I want you to come with me, if you could, back into 1 Chronicles chapter 21. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. You see, what's happened, we've allowed society to condition us to be quiet in our expectation of what we believe God can do. And the more I trust God, the more I rely on God, the more I push into God, the more I realize that he's hungry to use people just like you and I to bring a change to our city. I went to school chapel up at Investigator College on Tuesday morning. They couldn't get their technology to work. Ever been there, Josh? Ever been there, Nike? Major music production. Nothing's working. No microphones. No $36,000 multimedia projector. No $8,000 screen. No sound system. The young teacher, the year three teacher that's invited me along, says, "I'm glad you're here, Pastor. Can you just pray that everything starts working?" Murray talks about a Christian school with not all Christians in it. We've got a college up the road that used to be 85% Christian, 15% non, flipped it around the other way. So I go up there and they ask me to pray. I feel like saying, "What's wrong with us all just stopping right here? Call the kids to attention. Call the teachers to attention. Call the parents and the grandparents, the aunts and the uncles up the back. Call them to attention. We need to pray." She said, "Can I ask you what you're talking about today?" She said, "I know you were given two topics." I said, "Two? I was only given one." She said, "It's about something new, or it's Shrove Tuesday." I said, "Guess which one I went for?" Because I didn't know about the second one. I said, "I want to just pray over this chapel right now, because I believe Holy Spirit's going to do a work in this place." So just in the back of the auditorium, while the guy's mucking around on the tech desk, I put my arm on her shoulder, and we just prayed that the Holy Spirit would take control of the chapel. Next minute I hear fizzle, pop, bang. projector comes on, screen lights up, testing 1, 2, 3 comes across. Thank you, Jesus. I could have just gone over to the sound desk and put my tech hat on and just fiddled. But the Holy Spirit said you need to pray on all occasions. Pray in the Holy Spirit. How many occasions? Yep, absolutely. So a practical outworking of, yes, I could do it in the natural, but yes, I can do it more effectively in the supernatural. So I get up in front of the kids. There's about 125 primary age children there, and delivered the message God had laid on my heart. And I said, I just want to pray. And I said, if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, as we're praying, with all eyes shut, heads bowed, just slip your hand up. You want to accept Jesus into your life? I've never done this at a school chapel. We've got protocol, Steve. Going across the boundary, speaking of being born again, with the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. So as I'm praying, I see little hands go up. I see a grandparent's hand go up in the back row. I see a teacher's hand gingerly go up. There's supposed to be Christian teachers there. As I'm praying, my heart's praying in tongues. My natural voice is praying in English. But I see the Holy Spirit move. Why? Because he wants to move where he's welcome to move. Amen? And I want to know, is he welcome to move in our services here? More importantly, is he free to move in our service here this morning? Are we open for the Holy Spirit to mess us up, to change our mindset? You know, Peter's a pretty headstrong guy, and he's already been through the clean and unclean message in Acts chapter 10. And then God takes him to this place where Cornelius is invited and messes with his head again. The battle is always what's in our head, what God wants to do in our heart. God wants to mess our head up so we can start listening and behaving with our heart. Amen? Don't say, oh, he's been all wussy and soft. No. Strong men and women of God are moved by what the Holy Spirit speaks into their heart, and they act accordingly. I finished the ministers group here on Thursday. Went a little bit later than normal. I had 2 or 3 pastors stay behind, and one of them, I worked very closely with him, he says to me, so Lou, what are you going to do about what was said? Lou, what am I going to do? You were here. But again, I felt the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. I'm the most senior leader in the churches across the South Coast. I've been on staff here 24 years. I've seen a lot of change in church leaders, church structures, church splits, church plants, the interaction between church and community. And I know that God's got a call on this house, not just me, but this house, to do great and mighty things for him. But we need to be open to the move of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Don't compromise. Don't back down. Don't be weak and wussy, but say, Holy Spirit, if you're going to make a fool of me, do it good. Let them talk real well about me, God. You know, I love the way God's moving. I get scared at times. I get nervous at times. I question God at times. But I know it's God moving on our lives to do great and mighty things in this city. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. I know you're there waiting for me. Verse 26. David built an altar there to the Lord and sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings. And when David prayed, the Lord answered him by sending fire from heaven to burn up the offering on the altar. God answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. I don't know whether David had left his Zippo lighter at home, or, you know, the box of matches had run out. You know, you open the box of matches and they're all the dead used ones. God answered the prayer of David with fire which fell from heaven. It didn't say it was like a little gas heater. God answered him from heaven with fire. Fire fell on those offerings. David would have planned how he was going to offer those burnt offerings. David, it says, built an altar there to the Lord and sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings. My Bible says, and when David prayed. Might be a little clue in that passage. And when people pray. And if my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. There's something about meeting God where God's at, instead of expecting God to meet us where we're at. Amen? 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 1. I love it when the word of God comes alive. I love it when his word speaks into his people. I hope his word is speaking into you today. Verse 1, chapter 7, 2 Chronicles. When Solomon finished praying, fire, the New Living Translation says, flashed down from heaven and burnt up the burnt offerings and sacrifice, and the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. Pretty good stuff. Pretty good stuff. When Solomon finished praying, God waited this time till he was finished, fire came down from heaven. No wonder there was a presence of God in the place. This is not an ordinary occasion. This is a supernatural occurrence. But these two occurrences here are undeniable. They're indisputable. They're irrefutable. They're visible. They're tangible manifestations of the power of God. If you were there on that day, would you ever forget that story? The Holy Spirit falls here today. Will you ever forget that story? You may talk about the good old days, but this will be one of them. I look forward to the day where all are hearing, all are listening to the Word, have an experience where the presence of God is not just a fuzzy feeling, and all the hairs on my arm, they all stood up, but it was just so internal. It's just such, wow, God. Like he's looking forward to it. What about the story when Elijah is challenged on Mount Carmel by the prophets of Baal, where they want to sacrifice to their gods, to the gods of Baal in Issachar? The false prophets and the true prophet, the man of God, are in this battle. The Bible says they both built an altar and offer a sacrifice. And Elijah says, you go first. Come on. Bring it on. You have first shot. Let's see. The Bible records in detail about how they started to wail and moan and weep and call out, and they decide to cut themselves. And, you know, all day long they're just pleading with their God to come and burn up the sacrifice. He said, but there's only one true God. My God's going to take this sacrifice. At the end of the day, Elijah takes his place. And he rebuilds the altar of the Lord that was broken down. He puts the wood in order. He put the sacrifice on the wood. He has them pour 12 buckets, 12 containers, barrels if you like, of water on the sacrifice. Trench of water. Sacrifice covered with water. Wood soaked in water. And he does this amazing thing. He prays a short prayer. And the Bible says that the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the wood and the sacrifice and the altar itself. The fire of God fell. He didn't spend all day long cutting and bruising and whipping and crying out and weeping and gnashing his teeth and rolling over the floor. He had a belief in his God that says, if my God's going to do it, he'll do it. All I have to do is ask him and it will come. The Bible then goes on to say that when the people saw what the Lord had done, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. I was talking to someone the other day and I've been talking to some Muslim people about their faith and questioning where their faith is. And he questioned about the amount of times they go to prayer, that they stop what they're doing and they get their prayer mats out and they face the east and they cry out to Allah. And he said to them, so what do you ask for? What do you pray to Allah about? We pray to Allah, he's the great God. And we pray that anything we ask for, he will give to us. His question back to them is, why do you have to keep asking? Why do you have to keep asking? See, our doctrine, our belief, it says, you ask once. And then you thank him in advance for what he's about to do. If you really believe that God is God, then you don't have to keep going back with the same request time and time again. You, by faith, receive the answer. You see, the fact is, in the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal, it was so powerful, it was so undeniable, that it turned a whole nation back to God. You might think as big as Australia, and I love Australia, but my thinking right at the moment is as big as the Southern Fleurieu. I want God to influence. I want God to impact. I want an undeniable visitation of God to fall upon my neighbours, upon my people up and down my street, the people I do business with. I was going to the assembly, as I said the other day, and the manager of McDonald's happened to be there, Gavin. I haven't seen Gavin for a while, and he said, Lou, you're still around. He stopped his conversation with his friend, and I said, yeah, why? He said, I heard you'd moved on, but I'm glad you haven't. I said, you and I need to catch up. I want to know why. And he said, do it. Come and see me. The funeral that I arranged on Friday was surrounded by mayors and former mayors, politicians, famous, very, very rich business people. But God's presence was in that service, because I had so many complimentary people come to me and say, that was amazing what you did. We never expected that. We just were just in awe of the way you handled everything and did everything. You see, when God's involved, things change. My claim to fame, as I keep saying, is funeral services. What a claim to fame. But when God's involved, it's a claim to the famous one. Amen? You see, when people have a God encounter, whether they're believers or not, if it's undeniable, they can't deny it. If they've had the experience by knowing you, they can't deny it. They can't put your faith to the test anymore. There may be still some doubt in their heart. They might be not ready for the next step of faith. But an experience with God is irrefutable, it's undeniable, and if it's as powerful as what we're talking here, why can't it happen in 2016? There was a day in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1 and 2, where Jesus promised the coming of the Holy Spirit. And he said to the disciples, I want you to wait in Jerusalem till the Holy Spirit comes. You know, I've been in churches a lot of years. I've heard the name the Holy Spirit a whole lot of times in a whole lot of different contexts. But when the Holy Spirit came into my life, that's the day I remember most. Holy Spirit, we invite you into our service. That can sound so hollow and empty. But when it's said with meaning, when it's said with purpose, when you're determined to see Holy Spirit move, friends, Holy Spirit has to come. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, you know the passage. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they're all in one accord in one place. I pray for the day when we're all in one accord in the one place. I understand that we can't agree on everything all the time. I fully understand that. But when we come to the Lord's house, can't we be in one accord? Psalm 133 says, for when the people dwell in unity, there the Lord commands the blessing, life forevermore. To be in one accord doesn't mean we agree on the song selection that Trudy's got, or the way Josh has got the amplification done, or the quickness or slowness that, you know, Nike's got on the overhead screens, or the rate at which the communion's given out, the way we take up the tithes and offerings. Man, oh man, if you realise what goes into a service, you realise it can't all happen as smoothly as we all want. I may be wearing the wrong colour shirt for you this morning. I'm sorry. It's the one my wife ironed for me. Blame her. But listen to what happened on that day of Pentecost when it had fully come. They were all in one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. It filled all the house where they were sitting. Take yourself back to that room right now. You may be just like you are now. Sarah's looking in her Bible. Wendy's blowing her nose. Raylene's wiping her chin. Robin's writing notes. Chris is wondering what's coming next. We're all in a different place in the one place. But I'm waiting for something to happen. You may not be, but I am. I'm waiting for the Holy Spirit to just begin to move. The Bible says, and he, the Holy Spirit, filled that whole place. It doesn't matter whether you're blowing your nose, wiping your eyes, picking your nose, you know. It doesn't matter, because the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit of God. And when he turns up in a mighty way. And there appeared unto them, verse 3, cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. Nobody was going to miss out on this day. The Holy Spirit fell. He came like the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Imagine that, what that would like in 2016, where you've invited your most heathen friend along to church, and they said, oh, I suppose I'll come once. And God turns up. And this friend of yours gets so filled with the Holy Spirit, so on fire for God, they just can't hold it in. They're just so pumped. It's like electricity running through their inner parts. It says, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them offerings. You see, the fire of God fell on David's altar and burnt offerings. The fire of God fell on Solomon's offering and sacrifices. The Holy Ghost, the fire of God, the power of God, fell on Mount Carmel. The Holy Ghost fire fell on the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Ghost fire fell in Cornelius's house. Imagine a quiet cup of tea one afternoon, just an afternoon coffee with friends. You've prayed believing God's going to turn up, and the Holy Ghost turns up in your living room, in your family room, in your pergola area, wherever. It doesn't matter whether it's Old Testament or New Testament. These experiences we've talked about were visible, undeniable manifestations of the power of God. But what really concerns me today is this, that we are raising a generation of Christians who have never had a God encounter. Sounds harsh, doesn't it? Sounds strong. Never had a God encounter. Might have said the sinner's prayer, might have accepted Jesus into their life because something moved on their emotions, something the pastor said, something the connect group leader said, something a friend said, and you go, I'll give that a go. I'll try that to see if it works. But what we really need in all our lives is a God encounter. The never experienced a tangible, undeniable manifestation of the power of God. They might know God in theory. They might know God religiously. They might know God mentally, intellectually. They know about God, but they've never had a Mount Carmel. They've never had a day of Pentecost. They've never done a House of Cornelius encounter with the fire of God falling on them. They've never had a burning bush experience. I hope I'm talking to none of you here. I hope that somewhere in your life you've had a God experience, a moment in time, a brief period where you know it was God moving you and shaking you. There's people that have never experienced the Holy Spirit come into their life, seizing them, taking possession of them, embracing them. Never experienced the supernatural fire of God burning in their hands, in their feet, and the innermost parts of their body. Too many people, I believe, today that believe it's just a concept. It's just a historical moment. It read good, it sounded good, it preached good. But I'm not sure whether it could happen today. These are the sort of people that are filling our churches. And we wonder why lives are not being changed. We're wondering why souls aren't being touched. Because it's just a concept. It's just an idea. But I've come with this assignment this morning. To let us all know, including myself, that the fire of God is not just a concept. It's just not an idea. It's not just a theory. It's not just a philosophy to be studied. It's not a figment of our overactive imagination. It's not just religious ramblings. It's not just a good preach. I believe that the fire of God is the mighty Holy Spirit of God. Now, I believe that he is the third person of the Godhead. He is God, and he is the might and the power of God. Amen? He is the same fire that fell on Mount Carmel. He is the same fire that fell in that upper room on the day of Pentecost. He is the same fire that filled Cornelius' house. Friends, the fire of God is real. You believe that today? It's tangible. If you've never experienced, I encourage you to seek God. Get on your face, to take some quiet time, to get some space between the world and God and move closer to God so you can experience it for yourself. You see, the fire of God is very much alive. It's here. It's right here today, if you'll understand that. It's contagious. It'll jump like a wildfire in the natural. It's the power of God. Power of God, friends, is the only power that can heal. Doctors can remedy. Doctors can cut out. But doctors can't heal. Amen? You believe that? Doctors can administer radiation, chemotherapy. But the body suffers effects from that. But the fire of God can remove cancers, can take away diseases, can free broken hearts, can set on fire those who've been engrossed by other things. The fire of God can burn drugs out of your system, can take away alcoholism, take all the desire for those things away from you. The power of God, the fire of God, can restore missing body parts. You want to see that? You want to see that? Our God, the fire of God, can deliver. He can deliver from alcoholism, drug abuse, pornography, lust, perversion. The fire of God can burn up jealousy, pride, criticism, bitterness, unforgiveness. The fire of God can restore a broken heart. He will restore joy and peace into your life. Fire of God will heal a marriage. Fire of God will heal your mind. My prayer is, God, do it again. God, let your fire fall in this place. That same fire that fell on the day of Pentecost, that same fire that fell in the house of Cornelius. God, do it again. Let the fire fall. Let it fall on us. I love the churches up the road, but I love this church more. I want the fire to fall here. Amen. I want to be here when it falls. I want it to come suddenly, like it did for Peter. Let it fall. Let it come forcibly. Let it come powerfully. Let it rush in on us. Let it seize us. Let it embrace us. Let it take possession of us. I'm not satisfied anymore just to sing about it or read about it or go back through old revivalist books and see what God has done. I want to experience it here in this house, and I want it soon. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, you know the scripture, you shall receive power after which the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Wait in Jerusalem. Wait in the gospel center until you be endued with power from on high. How much waiting are you prepared to do? How much crying out are you prepared to do? How much belief are you prepared to put in this modern day gospel, Acts 29? God's not finished yet, and he's certainly not dead. The same power that Jesus experienced while he ministered on earth to open blind eyes, to unstop deaf ears, to make the lame to walk and the dumb to talk. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Do you know that? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead abides in every one of you. We had a great opportunity with our Italian Maltese neighbours Friday evening. They've just come back from a 3-month trip back to the old country, back to Malta and back to Italy. And they were so blessed by their community that received them, so blessed by the local priest in that little Roman Catholic church. And within a quarter of an hour, they're telling us about a best man's son who just recently passed away in Chicago. And they don't understand why. And Alf says to me, Louis, you're the pastor. You explain this to me. Why should such a good man, some man who's done so much for the community, so much for medicine, he's a doctor and he worked in an amazing laboratory trying to discover cures for diseases. He's about to retire and move back with his family into Australia just after Christmas. He gets a call from his doctor to say that he's got an infection in his leg that requires the removal of one of his feet. His hope is in retirement. His hope is in coming back to Australia. His hope is being reunited with his family in his retiring years. His hope is that he can see his two sons that reside in Melbourne while he's been working in Chicago for the last 30 years. And so they amputate his foot, and he dies. His twin sons are devastated. His daughter doesn't know what to do. This is the son of my neighbour's best man who was married 60 years ago. You're the pastor, Louis. You explain it to me why this happened to such a good man. I just say to him, Alf, God's God. I don't understand what was going on in this man's life. I don't understand what was involved in the medical procedure. I don't know what entered his body, similar to what Chris's body. We don't understand what happened, why that staphylococcus got into Chris's body. There's some things we don't understand. But what an opportunity for my dear Roman Catholic neighbours to say, Louis, you're the pastor. you explain it to me. They didn't go to their local priest. They asked their neighbour. The Bible says here in Acts chapter 10 that the fire of God fell on them while they were listening to the word. The same fire, the same anointing, the same presence, the same power that God used on that day of Pentecost, that same power, that same presence, that same anointing that resided in Jesus, his Son, he's wanting to do it again in our community. He's wanting to move through people like you and I to bring the fire of God into our communities. God is waiting to fall into your life. Can I use that expression? He wants to fall into your life. He wants to embrace you with compassion and affection. He wants to seize you in a caring, guiding, loving way with a tangible, undeniable, irrefutable, indisputable manifestation of the fire and the power of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, Jesus speaks out and he says, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." They shall be filled. What are you being filled with today? Are you being filled with the fire of God? Or are you being filled with the filth of the world? Are you being filled with stuff that doesn't need to be anywhere near you, far less in you? Matthew 7 and verse 7 says, "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you." But I love Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. If you've got your Bibles there, last scripture for this morning. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. I want to read this out of the Amplified. Jeremiah 33:3. She reads lips real well, that girl. I've got to be mindful that sometimes I speak too fast. Not as fast as some. Listen to what God says through the prophet Jeremiah. "Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things, fenced in and hidden, which you do not know, do not distinguish and recognize and have knowledge of and understand. Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things, which you do not know." For all to know everything about everybody and everything in this house this morning, there's none of us. God's saying to us now, if you allow yourselves to listen to the voice of Holy Spirit, if you allow him to move your mindset and change your way of thinking, if you'll allow him to shift your position, he will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. I love the way God works through Peter. Story after story after story. He falls back, God picks him up again. He falls short, and Jesus encourages him on. He gets filled with the Holy Ghost, and they all go out, and 3,000 are saved. He keeps doing good work. He thinks he's got a mindset that's been changed. And then in Acts chapter 10, God turns up again and says, "I'm going to show you things, boy, that you never thought possible. And by the way, when these men come for you, go with them, because I'm going to show you even more." Hunger to me is a magnet. Hunger to me draws the anointing. Hunger to me will open the door for the manifestation of the power of God. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, right standing with God. Blessed are you, makarios, that Greek word, opulence, favor, joy, peace, happiness, all bundled into one. I don't know about you, but I'm hungry. Can't smell that coffee yet. I can't smell my lunch. But I smell a change in the wind. I hope I'm talking to many of you this morning. But when you're hungry, it changes your mindset. I was up on the roof yesterday afternoon fixing a light fitting that I had to get through from the roof. And somebody in our community was cooking a roast dinner on a Weber. It was 10 to 7 at night. We hadn't eaten yet. I just finished asking Pastor Rob Mottens for dinner. She didn't know. Oh. Felt like those cartoon characters when you just float with the smell off the roof. Shouldn't that be the way with God? That when we know that God wants to move, we get hungry for it. We get thirsty for it. It gets our attention and it draws us. As a church, let's get hungry. Let's see the power of God come in an irrefutable, undeniable, irresistible manifestation of His power in our lives. Amen? Amen. Let's pray right now. Thanks, God. Father, we do thank You that You are an amazing God. I stand in awe of You every time I read Your word, every time I hear Your voice, every time You whisper, every time You shout, every time You don't answer me, I still hear You. Because You're trying to get through. Lord, my heart is for not just this church, but Your church. That we as Your church would impact, influence, change, not only our mindset, but see the change of mindset in those around us. But Lord, we don't have to talk breakthrough. We don't have to talk great awakening. We don't have to talk revival. Because when we've been revived in our spirit by the Holy Spirit of God, we just naturally become infectious and contagious and more influential than we've ever thought possible. But God, I thank You. I thank You right now for what You're doing in this place. I thank You for hungry hearts. I thank You for thirsty souls. I thank You, Lord, for a manifestation of an encounter with God in this place that none of us ever, ever forget. I pray Your favor and Your blessing over Your people as we go away from this meeting, as we ponder what's going on. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.